We're reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 11, Text 10?
9.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been refusing to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's request to see King Prataparudra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajanon Makasya Param Param Trigamishor Abhasagarasya Sandarshanam Vishayinam Atayoshitam Cha Hahanta Hanta Bishop Akshanato Api Asadu. Alas, for a person seriously desiring to cross the material ocean and engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, without material motives, seeing a materialist engaged in sense gratification and seeing a woman who is similarly interested is more abominable than drinking poison willingly. Now Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replies, Sarvabhauma kahe satchatomar vachan jagannatha sevak raja kintu bhaktotam. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, My dear Lord, what you have said is correct, but this king is not an ordinary king. He is a great devotee and servant of Lord Jagannath. Uttama Bhakta, Bhakta Uttam, and Jagannath Sevak. Prabhu kahe, tatapi raja kala sarpakar, Kashta nari sparshe yoiche upaje vikar. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Although it is correct that the king is a great devotee, he is still to be considered a venomous snake. Similarly, even though a woman be made of wood, one becomes agitated simply by touching her form. Purport. Sri Chanakya Pandit, in his moral instructions, has stated, Tyaja Durjana Samsargam Bhaja Sadhu Samagamam. This means that one has to abandon the association of materialistic people and associate with spiritually advanced people. However qualified a materialist may be, he is no better than a venomous serpent. Everyone knows that a snake is dangerous and poisonous, and when its hood is decorated with jewels, it is no less poisonous or dangerous. However qualified a materialist may be, he's no better than a snake decorated with jewels. One should therefore be careful in dealing with such materialists, just as one would be careful in dealing with a bejeweled serpent. Even though a woman be made of wood or stone, she becomes attractive when decorated. One becomes sexually agitated even by touching the form. Therefore, one should not trust his mind, which is so fickle that it can give way to enemies at any moment. The mind is always accompanied by six enemies, namely, Kam, Krodh, Mada, Moha, Matsarja, and Bhai. That is, lust, anger, intoxication, illusion, envy, and fear. Although the mind may be merged in spiritual consciousness, one should always be very careful in dealing with it, just as one is careful in dealing with a snake. One should never think that his mind is trained and that he can do whatever he likes. One interested in spiritual life should always engage his mind in the service of the Lord, so that the enemies of the mind, who always accompany the mind, will be subdued. If the mind is not engaged in Krishna consciousness at every moment, there's a chance that it will give way to its enemies. In this way, we become victims of the mind. chanting the Hare Krishna mantra engages the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna constantly. Thus the mind's enemies do not have a chance to strike. Following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example in these verses, you want to close that door if it's not closed or not? Outside door. Following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example in these verses, we should be very careful in dealing with the mind, which should not be indulged in any circumstance. Once we indulge the mind, it can create havoc in this life, even though we may be spiritually advanced. The mind is specifically agitated through the association of materialistic men and women. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his personal behavior, warns everyone to avoid meeting a materialistic person or a woman. There are several significant points here. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered that, all right, he's a great devotee, but he's a king. And for a sannyasi to be involved with kings is bad news. Sannyasi is supposed to be renounced. He's supposed to give up the world. And king, practically by definition, is a person who's ruling the world, involved with the world, worldly. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all right, he may be a great devotee, but I'm not going to see him. Then there's, and he gives the example that a snake is dangerous even when decorated with nice jewels. Or Prabhupada gives the example. Now we come to women. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada is criticized for promoting a view in which a woman can be simultaneously a servant of the Lord and a temptress for men. He's regarded sometimes as being, well, anyway, out of sync with modern ideas at the very least. And, yes. But here we see that Srila Prabhupada is speaking for the tradition. Sometimes also it's represented that it's not Prabhupada, but it's modern sannyasis or somebody who got some idea after 1972 and changed everything. But here we see that the concept, the attitude is traditional and not unrealistic. In the third canto we find Lord Kapildev says that one may be attached to something in this material world, attracted to something in this material world, but there's nothing to which one becomes more attracted, more attached than the form of a woman. Nothing else. And therefore the sannyasis particularly, or anyone who's serious about spiritual advancement, is cautioned not to become a dancing dog in the hands of a woman. The problem Srila Prabhupada identifies here is not women per se, but the mind. Prabhupada sometimes expressed the problem by saying that man is good and woman is good, but man and woman together are not good. The problem is the mind. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan parta manogata. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks several times, about the qualities of a self-realized person. What are his characteristics? How does he walk? How does he speak? How does he sit? And in this instance, Lord Krishna replies, not by saying he walks this way, he sits that way, speaks this way, but prajalati yadakamam sarvam parta manogata. He gives up all lusty desires. Prajahati yada kama. When he gives up all lusty desires, then he's a transcendentally, then he's transcendentally situated. What are those material desires? Manogata. Manogatan means they're mental concoctions. They're mental concoctions. The mind manufactures some idea of happiness. The mind manufactures some idea of material enjoyment. And particularly that propensity for imagining material enjoyment is stimulated by the opposite sex. There's some Charlie Chaplin film I saw on an airplane. Charlie Chaplin was bona fide, of course. Charlie Chaplin is someplace in a park or something, and he sees this woman ride by on a horse. I think he's on a horse too. I forget exactly how it works. But anyway, he becomes attracted, and you see the thought bubbles, and not thought bubbles, it's actually depicted how he gets together with that girl, and they fall in love with one another, and they get married, and they live together in this nice little cottage, and the whole thing is going on. And then he somehow, whether he's riding after her or chasing after her, and he finally catches up with her and sees that she has glasses. That's the end of that. Apparently that didn't fit his picture of the ideal girl. So the whole thing was off. That means manogata, mental concoction. As long as we're in mundane art and literature, I'll tell you another story briefly. If someone knows the actual story, I'd be grateful, because I read it about 40 years ago or more. I've forgotten both the author and the title. I can't find it again. Anyway, it was a short story about this woman who goes into she's like a sweeping woman, not a very elevated in class. She's working at a theater, if I have it right, and this ventriloquist comes to town. So every night she becomes attracted by this ventriloquist, who's tall and handsome and this like slick dark hair and courtly manner and so on. So every night she finishes her duties, and just after the show begins, she slips into the back through some back door and sees the show, and just kind of hangs on the side of this very handsome man with this little dummy in his lap. And then just before the show ends, she leaves and goes out to do whatever it is that she has to do. And then finally, on the last night of the show, she screws up her courage. And as usual, she slips out just before the show ends. But instead of leaving, she goes to the green room. The green room is where the actors unwind after the show. She goes to the green room to meet him in person. And there she finds that the tall, handsome man is the dummy. Dummy? The dummy is the wooden figure that's manipulated by the ventriloquist. So she finds out that the tall, handsome man is the dummy and the little nothing sitting on his lap is the ventriloquist. That's quite graphic, as I remember, the tall, handsome man falls over and his little glass eyeball rolls down the floor. Quite a good story. Anyway, it fits because Manogata. The entire idea of enjoyment was all a mental concoction. But this is the nature of the mind, that in touch with even some suggestion or some, after all, it's all illusion. This, what we're attracted to, is described as kunapeji dhatuke, a bile of mucus, bag of mucus, bile and air. Sri Rukmini Devi says that anyone who's married to anyone other than Krishna has a husband who's simply a bag of mucus, bile and air, with some hair on his head and some eyebrows and a mustache stuck on. That's what she's calling her husband. And of course it goes the other way also. Not with Krishna, but with everyone else. So it's a concoction. Srila Prabhupada says that you see a mannequin. Mannequin is another word for dummy, one of those wooden statues in the store window. And you see the beautiful mannequin, some girl, woman in the window, and she looks very beautiful. The Prabhupada says just because there's a little thin layer of paint. You know, one tiny thin layer of paint. And when painted very nicely, made in the form of a woman, the doll becomes attractive. And similarly, he points out that the body of the human male or female looks nice because it's covered by a little thin layer of skin. Without that little thin layer, inside it's all ghastly. Those who have the occupations of surgeons have the privilege of opening up and seeing what's inside. And it's not all that lovely. Perhaps to a surgeon it has a certain aesthetic appeal, but nothing you'd want to kiss and embrace. But by this little thin covering of skin, it becomes attractive. And Maya is so strong that by seeing not even the form of the opposite sex, not even the form of a woman, but even the form of a form, the imitation of a form, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the mind becomes agitated. The mind becomes agitated. This is not simply some medieval, antiquated misunderstanding. It's pragmatically true to this day. I read some article in the Wall Street Journal some years back. Everyone was trying to figure out how to make money on the internet. Everybody knew that, the businessmen knew that so many thousands and millions of people are growing on the internet, and we could make a site and get them to click on it. But how do we make money? Because everything on the internet's given away, everything, people don't want to pay money for things on the internet. Now it's advanced a little bit, but how do we make money on the internet? That was their question. But meanwhile, the pornographers had figured it out. They'd buy the most sophisticated video equipment then available, which didn't cost all that much money, and they'd pay some girls a little bit something, so many dollars per hour, and then they'd charge the users so many $20, $30, whatever it is for a short period of time, and they get to see something to agitate their minds. And they were making money hand over foot. They're making money hand over foot. Because they knew that this is not simply some dusty old Gaudiya Vaishnava superstition, but it's, you could bet your money on it, that men's minds are attracted and agitated by the form of a woman. And it's just the form. I mean, you're looking at a computer screen, and what are you seeing but little pixels? You know, it's just little patterns of phosphorescent light. But if those little particles of phosphorescent light are made in the form of a woman, then the guy swipes his credit card and, you know, whatever you want. Therefore, it's pragmatically true. And unfortunately, the materialists are so misguided that they want to take their enjoyment in scratching the itch. Prahlad Maharaj says, what is that? Kanduyanena karyor ivaduka dukam. Yan maitunani grihamedi sukham hituchcham. The happiness of mundane sense enjoyment is Yanmaitanam, it starts with sex. Griha, Kretra, Sutta, Apta, Vittar. It expands sex and home and family and money and so many things. Whole material picture of enjoyment. And it's made very nice, you know, a little home sweet home, a little cottage with a nice white fence around it and a pretty little garden with flowers growing and the mother and father standing holding the baby in front of the door and the little doggy going, But Bhagavatam says, Yanmaitunari, the root of all this is sex enjoyment, maitunari. And that happiness is tuchcham. Tuchcham means paltry, insignificant. Right? Hardly anything. Yan mait, please don't ring the bell. Please do not ring the bell. Mr. Pujari, please stop ringing the bell. Pretty pleased with sugar and time. Bhagavatam's class is actually the substitute for the bell. That's how it works. So that happiness of sex enjoyment is described as being tuchcham, insignificant. And kanduyanena karyor iva dukkha dukkha. It's described as the happiness of scratching an itch. And everyone knows the nature of itches. If you leave them alone, they eventually subside. But if you scratch them, then they get more itchy. They become inflamed. And then what you do is you scratch more. And then they get more itchy. And then you scratch more, and you scratch more, and you scratch more. So that's the nature of the material sex life and material sense enjoyment. That Kanduyunena karuvali vidukka dukkha. It's agitating the already agitated mind, agitating the already agitated senses, increasing the problem. That's a problem. The mind is agitated. Senses are agitated. Then the solution to that problem is do something that will agitate them more. And then people go nuts. The things that people do for sex enjoyment are not the subject matter for discussion by sannyasis and brahmacharis or anyone who's serious about spiritual advancement. There were some wild, people do wild things somehow or other to increase their sex enjoyment. People kill for sex enjoyment. People risk their lives for sex enjoyment. Simple, this we can talk about in Bhagavatam class. They have that drug, Viagra, which enables sexual performance for those who have sexual dysfunctionality. And the only problem with it is it's contraindicated for heart patients. If you're a heart patient, this is not good for you. You can die. I guess it gets the heart going too much. So it's contraindicated. So what was happening? Instead of going to their doctors, men would find some other doctor, not tell them that they have a heart problem, and get this Viagra prescribed. That means they'd rather risk death than go without sex. They'd rather risk death. For what? Maitinari sukham hituchcham. For a couple moments of insignificant so-called enjoyment. Why? Manogata. Because this is all in the mind. It's all in the mind. The mind is imagining enjoyment. And of course the enjoyment delivered never matches the mental expectation. Could never match the mental expectation. But one goes on imagining and imagining. Therefore the symptom of the self-realized person is atmanyevatmana tushta. Instead of trying to get some imaginary happiness by agitating the mind in different ways, he takes happiness in the self. Atmanyevatmana tushta. Tushta means satisfaction. Kama means desire, and tushta means satisfaction. Tushta. Just like when you've eaten and you're satisfied, that's tushta. So the soul will not be satisfied by any amount of sense enjoyment. This way, that way, this one, that one. The mind becomes satisfied by self-realization. Atmanyevatmana. The soul is by nature blissful. So by turning one's consciousness away from the external energy of sense enjoyment, the illusory energy, and focusing the mind within, one becomes satisfied. Even the Maya bodies get a little bit of satisfaction by withdrawing from this illusory business of speculative sense enjoyment and focusing their minds within. they get some relief. And by spiritual identification, they get some sense of happiness. But the Vaishnavas, the advanced transcendentalists, understand that the soul is part and parcel of Krishna, and that the real happiness comes from the exchange of loving dealings between the soul and Krishna. And by starting with fixing the mind on Krishna, Savaya Mana Krishna Padaravindi. The mind becomes absorbed in thinking of the name, form, qualities, pastimes, abode, entourage of Krishna. And the mind becomes satisfied. The mind becomes satisfied. The mind becomes joyful by hearing and chanting. Sthane Rishi Kesha, what is that verse? Tavastane Krishikesha Tavakrakirti. Let's see. Stane Rishikesha Tava Prakirtya Jagat Pravishyatyana Vajatecha. My dear Rishikesh, master of the senses, by hearing your glories, the whole world becomes joyful. Pravishyati. The whole world becomes joyful. Rakshamsi Pitani Dishodravanti. Only, of course, the demons are not very happy about it. They become fearful and they disperse, they run away. But otherwise, your holy name is so glorious that everyone becomes joyful by hearing your holy name, by hearing your glories. There are so many accounts of the Lord's pastimes, the Lord's in which the Lord's form and name and qualities are described. And the devotees especially become joyful to hear the glories of the Lord, or anyone actually will get transcendental satisfaction by absorbing the mind in Krishna. By absorbing the mind in matter, one becomes frustrated, one becomes anxious, one becomes fearful, all these other things, kam, krodh, lobh, mada, moha, matsarja. One develops lust, one develops anger, one develops greed, one develops illusion, madness, envy. These things develop by contact with matter. And by contact with Krishna, the satisfaction of the mind. This is called austerity of the mind. In Bhagavad Gita it said that austerity of the mind consists of satisfaction. Where's that? Someone remember where that is? Wonder where that is. We have different opinions. Here it is, 17, you're right. Mana prasada samyatvam maunamatma vinigraha bhava samshutiritieta tapo manasamuchite. Mana prasada means satisfaction of the mind. There are three kinds of mental austerities. Austerity, yeah? No. Yeah. Right, there's three kinds of austerity. Austerity of body, mind, and words. So when it comes to mental austerity, this is the description given. First item is mana prasada. Just be satisfied. You know, all this business about agitating, just call it off. It's not going to go anywhere. It's endless. It's a dead end. So just drop it. Mana prasada. Just be satisfied. Just like when you watch you see some really juicy night, your favorite preparation, whatever it might be, something real salty or real sweet or real something. So then you're thinking, you know, how can I get that? Will there be any left? How do I get to the, you know, how do I somehow or other cut out the space between it and me? And the mind is so, you know, you put everything else aside for that. Just like Vilva Mangala Thakur, he had to get in touch with that Chintamani, the prostitute. You know, leave his father's funeral, cross the river on a dead body, climb the wall with a snake, brave a hurricane, anything, you know, just to get to the girl. So the same thing, mind is like that, it's agitated. So you're after that, some nice preparation. And then somehow if you don't get it, you say, all right, didn't get it. Anyway, rice, dal, and chapatis. And you live with it. Unless you want to be grumbly and say, why did you give it to that guy instead of me? But otherwise, you just, you know, say, okay, didn't get it. And then the mind goes back to being normal. You know, it leaves tongue hanging out, mental speculation mode, and goes back to being somewhat normal. You say, well, I guess I'll be satisfied with whatever I got. But you could have started there. Okay, if I get it, nice. If I don't get it, it's all right. But instead the mind is being agitated, or one is allowing the mind to be agitated. Oh, if I get this, da-da-da-da-da. And what are you going to get? You know, 2 moments of sugar or something, whatever it is. So, first item of austerity is just to be satisfied. Just to be satisfied. And the mind actually, just like a lake, when it's getting everything thrown into it, or motorboat scooting across it or something, it becomes all agitated. But otherwise, the lake is quiet, peaceful. So when the mind is agitated, it's all in a flurry. It's all agitated is the word. Disturbed. And when one is satisfied, when one learns the art of being satisfied with whatever comes, the mind is peaceful under all circumstances. Vamandev, Lord Vamandev taught this lesson to Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj offered him, whatever you want, just take it. I'm in charge of all the three worlds. Whatever you want, take from me. Yes, I'd like 3 paces of land. 3 paces of land? Come on, ask something. You must not be very experienced. Ask something serious. No, anyone who wouldn't be satisfied with 3 paces of land wouldn't be satisfied if he got all 3 worlds. So of course, it was ironic because Lord Vamandev eventually took the 3 worlds, but it was instructive also that the happiness comes to the person who knows the art of satisfaction. Sashantim apnoti nakam akami. What is that? Apuryamana machalam kachishtam. Samudramapa pravishanti yadvat. Tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve. Sashantim apnoti nakam akami. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that whose mind will be satisfied? The person who allows desires to, doesn't take desire very seriously. Samudramaka Prabhushanti. Just as different rivers are coming into the mind and the mind is remaining steady. So the person who becomes peaceful, Shantamaknoti, the person who attains peace, is not the person who's kamakami. Kamakami means desiring to desire. Desiring desires. Kamakami. A desirer of desires. This is actually their position, the materialists. They're increasing their desires. They're desiring to satisfy their desires. Okay. But their desires will never be satisfied. Trying to satisfy desires that way, Prabhupada said, is like trying to extinguish a fire by pouring gasoline on it. Petrol. Doesn't work. May work for a few moments. You throw enough petrol on the fire and it precludes the entrance of air and temporarily puts out the fire, but the next moment, whoosh, the whole thing's out of control. Well, that's the path of trying to satisfy desires by pursuing the satisfaction of desires. And Krishna says the person who's actually attains peace is the person who simply tolerates. What is that? Prak shirira vimokshana kama krodha payam vegan svaj sa sukhina suha bihaya kama no, let's see. Kama krodha bhavam vegan sayukta sa sukhina. Krishna says the same thing. One who tolerates the urges of anger. You don't become angry, happy actually by expressing your anger. You just make your life more difficult, create enemies, agitate your mind. You don't become happy by fear. You don't become happy by lust. So Krishna says the person who tolerates these things he's situated in Krishna consciousness. Sayukta. Sasuki. And he's happy. What is that? Yukta kama palam chaktva shantam apnoti naishtakim. Yukta kama karena pale sakto nibadhita. The person who's in Krishna consciousness, karma palam chaktva, he's detached from the fruit of his work, means what he expects to enjoy. Shantim apnoti naishtikim. Therefore he gets everlasting peace. And ayukta, the person who's not in Krishna consciousness, kamakarena, for the sense of satisfying his, for the purpose of satisfying his senses, ayukta kamakarena pale sakto nibhajate. He becomes attached and entangled. Therefore, the intelligent person is the person who simply says, all right, let me be satisfied. Whatever minimum necessities are required for material life, let me accept that, keep body and soul together. And mana prasada, first thing is, mana prasada, to be satisfied, saumyatvam, to be simple, not to be agitating, well, if I cheat this way and tell him that and do this and do that, then I could just be simple, not duplicitous. Mana prasada, saumyatvam, not agitating the mind for different schemes for how to cheat material energy. Mana prasada, saumyatvam, mona, silent, not jibber jabber, jibber jabber. Just quiet. Doesn't mean that he can't speak, but he speaks only something of spiritual value. Atma vinigraha, he controls his mind and senses. And bhavasam shuddhir. Bhavasam shuddhir means he completely purifies his existence. Materialists contaminate their existence. The soul is pure, and they're in the business of getting it dirty. And then taking their dirty soul and getting it more dirty. And then seeing what dirt they could add on top of that. What dirt they haven't experienced yet. What other color dirt there might be. If you add water to the dirt, what's it like? Somehow or other, some new dirty experience. But the Krishna conscious person, bhavasham shuddhi, he wants to purify his existence. Therefore, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, no this, etc. Gambling means what? Agitating the mind. Losing your money to the government. They already took this much from you in taxes, and now they're going to take some more. Buy the lottery. It's known that all these lotteries for the sake of doing good work for the poor are mostly subscribed to by poor people. These are known statistics. So it's simply cheating. But the cheated people are giving their money to the government on some mental speculation. And no gambling. No intoxication. The mind is already intoxicated. Don't intoxicate it more. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating. Don't pollute the body and mind with flesh, killing animals and enjoying. And no illicit sex. If possible, no sex. Otherwise, regulate it. Not blazing out of control, romantic, fantastic. Impossible. Just regulated for the service of Krishna. So, in this way, the mind, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes, is the problem. The problem is not the woman. The problem is the mind. Prabhupada one time said that, you know, why are people offering me so much respect? He said, because I can be in a room full of beautiful women and not be agitated. The problem is only the mind. The same person with a cuckoo mind is out of control. And the person whose mind is controlled, he's not agitated. Sashanti mahnati. Na kama kama. So Prabhupada emphasizes here that the mind should not be trusted. Chanchalahi mana krishna pramati balabhadridham. The mind is unreliable and bad enough unreliable but powerful and crazy. You know, you want to put your fortune into the hands of someone who's unreliable, crazy, powerful, stubborn. If you wanted to hire a driver, would you hire a driver who's unreliable, crazy, stubborn, and beyond control? That's the mind. So the mind should not be trusted. Tasmat tvam indriyani adau niyamya. The mind and senses from the very beginning should be controlled. Prabhupada has a very significant comment here. Although the mind may be merged in spiritual consciousness, one should always be very careful dealing with it, just as one is careful to deal with a snake. One should never think that the mind is trained and that it can do whatever he likes. can in the clear now. No, that means now you're in trouble. As soon as one thinks, now I'm in the clear, it's okay. Okay. You've set him up. He's now in the deepest trouble. Maya is a clear field. His guard is down. I'm trained, I'm okay, I'm safe. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is setting the example that he's on, although he's on the highest platform, I won't see a king, I won't have anything to do with women interested in sense enjoyment. Why? No, the mind is so rotten that if I see the form of a woman in the shop, touching the form of a woman, kashtanam, not the form of a real woman, even the wooden form of a woman, my mind becomes agitated. So he's instructing the transcendentalists, don't trust the mind. Don't trust the mind. What is that? Uttare atman atmanam natmanam avasadhyay atmaiva yatmano bandhur atmaiva riparatman. Uttare atman atmanam. One should uplift oneself by the mind. Natmanam avasadhyay, not degrade oneself by the mind. Atmaiva yatmano bandhur. Mind can be the best friend. Atmaiva riparatman. And the mind can be the worst enemy. Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmana jitaha. Anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmaiva shatruva. For one whose mind is controlled, mind is the best friend. And the person whose mind is uncontrolled lives always with the worst enemy. So, therefore, the mind should be focused on the lotus feet of Krishna. The mind should be absorbed in Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. By conscious service to Krishna, by association with devotees of Krishna, who are serious about making spiritual advancement, by worshipping the deity of the Lord, by reading the books of Krishna, all Krishna conscious activities. Somehow or other, yena, kena, prakayena. What is that? Mana Krishna nivesha. Somehow or other, one has to get the mind fixed in the service of Krishna. Yena kena prakarena mana Krishna nideshu. Somehow or other, the mind has to be fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. And the most simple, some way or other, is by this chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Some questions, comments? Yes. What is the worst enemy of the soul? Loud, please.
It says in Bhagavad Gita, Kamaishakradasha,
Mahashano, Mahapapa, Viti.
The worst enemy is the lust.
Yeah.
But
the worst enemy is the lust.
Yes.
And where does the lust come from? From the mind. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan parta manogata. Lust comes from the mind. Therefore, the mind, uncontrolled, is the worst enemy. And the mind controlled is the best friend.
Is impersonalism the worst enemy?
Is impersonalism the worst enemy? You know, we have these worst enemies, just like Prabhupada. So this is the best service. You know, there's like 100 best services. So we have like several worst enemies. Depends where you are. For one who's absorbed in sense gratification, the mind is the worst enemy, you know, on account of its contamination by lust. For one who's gotten free from mundane sense gratification, the idea of merging with the Supreme is the worst enemy. It's the last remnant of lust. I want to enjoy beautiful women. Nadanam najanam sundareen. I don't want money. I don't want followers. I don't want beautiful women. Then what do you want? I want to merge with you. Just blew it. I want to be the Supreme. I don't want money. I don't want love. What do you want? I want to be God. So again, he got caught by lust. And again, he'll have to come down to the material existence after merging for some time in the Supreme. And again, he comes back in the realm of lust. Yes? Merged. The impersonalist philosopher, the devotees, they want to serve God. And there's another class of philosophers, they want to become one with God. They want to, their idea is that I'm like a little drop and God is like the ocean. So when the drop merges in the ocean, yes, that's also a desire. No. I don't want to be president. I don't want to be king. I want to be God. So that's the last snare, the last trap of illusion. Something else? Yes?
Or sometimes I've heard it more than once, Lori said, I don't see women as objects of sense gratification because I had many sisters or I always associated with girls from the very beginning. So when I see a woman, I just see her as a sister.
Wow, great. Hats off to them. Those who are, you know, who grew up with their mothers and sisters and so on. And so they're, you know, when they see a woman, they just see all women like sisters and mothers. Fantastic. Hats off to them. If you believe it. Otherwise, the Bhagavatam warns, what is that? Matra svasra duhitra va naivam viviktasana rajet balabad indriya gramam vidvasam apikarshati. And one should not sit alone with your mother or your sister or your daughter. Why? Balabad indriya gramam, because the senses are so strong. Vidvamsam apikars, that they'll even drag a learned person, a wise person. Vidvam means one who knows what's what. Karshati, he'll even be dragged. Bhagavatam is so practical. Now, you know, in the 1980s, people finally figured out, you know, they did data and figured out that fathers were raping their little daughters. You know, that there's this enormous problem, actually, of little girls being abused by their fathers. Or by family. They're brothers. Their son's even older. Why? Because the senses are mad. The mind, when it becomes agitated by the senses, forgets. This is my mother, this is my sister, this is my daughter. In the Bible, this is not new stuff. In the Bible, it's there. Who was it? Absalom made some plan, raped his sister. Now we're advanced, we understand that, women are simply just another kind of variation on men, that everything's just, we can just mix and interact freely without all of these old superstitions and without these crazy Victorian, strictures and all these artificial things that have been imposed upon us by religion. We can relax and just peacefully see all one another as brothers and sisters. Baloney. Mine hasn't changed in 5,000 years. One has to be careful. Therefore it said, one should not even sit alone with them. Why? Now we're alone, mind is going on. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada scolded one disciple for leaving him alone with his 75-year-old sister. In Mayapur. Why did you leave me alone with that woman? She was quite chubby and she was old and she was a sister. Why did you leave me alone with that woman? Prabhupada scolded. But we're so cool, we hang out with the 25-year-old good-looking women, but we're not affected because we just see them like mothers and sisters. Yes. Now human nature is so out of control. You can't leave anybody alone with anybody.
Centered
the scriptures.
I don't know how to say that.
The
one against women. They speak basically to men. Scriptures. In practical reality, you see a man, they are the sexual aggressors. We rarely see women raping men or women abusing children in so many instances.
First of all, to correct things, women abuse children also. It's not.
Sometimes, but generally it's men.
I don't know the statistics, but it works the other way also. Apart from that, men are aggressive, yes. And because that's their tactic. Men pursue their sense gratification by being aggressive. And women pursue their sense gratification by being attractive. It's simply opposite sides of the same equation. It's not that simply men are aggressive and women are neutral. Why do the scriptures
usually aim at
men? Well, as Rabindra Sroop sometimes, Prabhu sometimes says, self-realization is considered a male project. which of course is a very sexist way to look at it. But the women in general are more rooted to worldly concerns. Women are the ones who are involved with children more. You know, fathers, you know, you see little children in the temple. A little child comes in the temple room. All the women will, you know, ooh, you know, and the men will quit care. Women who are attached to children. Women who want to expand the material field. The Vedic literature considers men more strong for self-realization. And its strategy for getting women focused on self-realization is to get them hooked up with men who are going in that direction. Not to say that women can't, on their own, also become spiritually advanced. But they're considered stronger. So why do you give some instruction? The GVC gives an instruction to the temple president. Why? He's the leader. It doesn't mean now nobody else, it's not meant for anybody else, but it's expected that he's the leader. If you give him the instruction, it'll come down to everyone. It'd still be fine in Shastra. Kapil Dev is instructing his mother, Devahuti. So it's not roped off, you know, exclusive men's club. No women around. Finally, Krishna, the Vedic system is more, you know, it's only the men, all Vedic consideration. Krishna says no. You know, only the man, only the Brahmins. Krishna says no. Sriyasha, Shudra, Vaishya, it doesn't matter. Woman, man, Brahmin, Shudra, anyone. Mami Partha Vyapashrita, if he takes shelter of me, he can go back to God. Therefore, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we don't make such distinctions that only the men can become advanced. The women are all expected to be absorbed in sense gratification while the men are making progress in spiritual life. No. Everyone. Man and woman. Everyone's supposed to be engaged in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Take shelter of Krishna and go back to God. No such distinction. We're giving Bhagavatam class. It's not that we're inviting only the men. Is it? Women are invited? Men are invited? In Islam, only the men are invited. Anything else? Yes?
Yes. So if the scripture is saying like about attractiveness of women, and if you're a woman or in a woman's body listening to this.
Yeah, then just transpose it. And you hear all these things about how dangerous women are. Then you can transpose it. It's there in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam when Kapila Dev's instructing his mother that the woman is the trap for the man. And he goes on about that. Explains how it's so. Then he explains it the other way, that the man is the trap for the woman. He's providing home and shelter and children and, you know, everything. So he's so good. One becomes attached to him instead of Krishna and blows it. So this the same instruction in mirror image is given by Lord Kapiladev to his mother concerning men. when he's speaking to his mother. Of course, he gives her both sets of instructions, but he instructs her that for women, men are the problem. And for men, women are the problem. Very symmetrical, isn't it? Maya sets everything up nicely so that there's a set of problems, a set of people that cause problem for women, and there's a set of people that cause problem for men. Like Krimi Bhojana. It's a hell called Krimi Bhojana, in which everyone is condemned to live as a worm. And all the worms are eating the other worms. Krimi Bhojana. So this material world, everyone is giving trouble to everyone else. Even if we don't intend to, you know, we're just innocently minding our own business. But we're giving trouble to one another. So the Vedic culture is so arranged as to try to minimize that trouble. Basic strategy is that men and women should not excessively mix.